The epistle for a feast of Christ the King is taken from St. Paul to the Colossians chapter 1. Brethren, giving thanks to God the Father, who hath made us worthy to be partakers of the lot of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For in him were all things created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominations or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and in him. And he is before all, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may hold the primacy, because in him it hath well pleased the Father that all fullness should dwell, and through him to reconcile all things unto himself, making peace through the blood of his cross, both as to the things that are on the earth and the things that are in heaven in Jesus Christ our Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from John chapter 18. At that time, Pilate said to Jesus, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or have others told it to thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief of priests have delivered thee up to me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would certainly strive that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from hence." Pilate therefore said to him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. For this was I born, and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Please be seated. All desire to rejoice with him, few are willing to suffer with him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear Father, dear Reverend, dear faithful, today we celebrate the feast of Christ the King. It is kind of this external expression of our faith that we give by truly recognizing him as the King of our hearts and our souls, King of our families, King of our parish, and so on. The Imitation of Christ gave us this quote at the very beginning. And in one, we can make that application when we look at the world around us. Many people will want to celebrate the victories of others, even if in some way that they didn't really do anything toward that victory or helping in that victory. And yet very few are willing to stay when things get very difficult or very tough, or things don't appear to be going well. You can even make that application to sports teams. You have a lot of people that are bandwagon jumpers. When a team is doing well, yes, they'll follow them. When they're not doing well, they'll stay away from them, act like they don't like the team. So yes, we can see that on a small level. But then when we also make that application to our Lord Jesus Christ, we know that he is king. I mean, it reminds us as we study our faith that we know that our Lord was king by birth, certainly, because he is God, but then also by conquest. And that is the victory that he had over the cross. Victory over sin, victory over the devil. We can say a victory over the world itself. But that victory came from our Lord's sufferings and his death on the cross. He vanquished sin by the wood of the cross. And so it's something as a good reminder to us as we contemplate this feast day, as we make our procession outside behind the Blessed Sacrament, that this is our King, this is our Lord. But he was victorious by appearing to be defeated. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of times we lose sight of. We lose sight of that victory came only when it seemed to be that our Lord was defeated. When you look at how his apostles, acted at that moment. They fled from him. You have the two disciples of Emmaus as they're walking and thinking, we thought this was the true Messiah, but he died on the cross. And that is where then our Lord explains to them, under the guise that they don't even know who he is, but he explains to them of how this must be the way that it had been. This is what is recorded in sacred scripture. So he goes over all of that for them, and they're amazed by his knowledge of that. But I think also more importantly that they understand then why our Lord had to die on the cross. Why seemingly that he was defeated, but we know obviously that is not the case. But yet his apostles, his disciples, they rejected him. Or rejected at least the idea that he was this true Messiah by walking away from him. We see obviously with St. Peter that he denied our Lord 3 times. So we can say that he rejected our Lord. And so that is where for us the contemplation comes in Christ the King. You know, is he the King that we imagine? And one of the things that we can bring that up is because that is truly what happened to the Jewish people. They had what they considered is their image of the king coming, the Messiah coming. An earthly king to take over the world. But we know that our Lord, that was not what he came as he says, my kingdom is not of this world. Is he king of the earth? Certainly. But his kingdom is not here. This world is fleeting to all of us. And so therefore, then we have to see that our Lord did not establish his kingdom here. He established it for heaven. And so that is the thing that we must try to look at our own lives. You know, do we recognize our Lord for the king that he is? Or do we too have a false idea of Christ the King? I mean, do we have the wrong idea of our Lord being king? The epistle very well spells out for us why our Lord came into this world. It starts off by saying that he makes us worthy to be partakers of the lots of saints. And so again, it goes back to why our Lord created us. Why God created us is to become saints. And so our Lord makes us worthy to become partakers of that lot. But it's very explicit what St. Paul says. We're worthy to become partakers of that lot. He doesn't say that we are going to become saints. But he gives us the chance to become worthy of sainthood. And therefore, we have to spend our life earning that goal, earning that reward. And St. Paul continues on in saying that redemption came through our Lord's blood, through his death on the cross. This is where the remission of sins came from, because of his death on the cross. And so that is why we said that our Lord reconciled everything through himself. I will draw all things to myself. That imagery that is given to us, that how he would draw all things to him. And so that's what's important for us, is that we recognize that our Lord is going to draw all things toward him. And so the peace came through the blood of his cross. We know that, but do we live that? Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre had said, where our Lord does not reign, Satan takes the throne. An easy illustration that is given for our modern world. Not as easy if we apply it to our own soul, to our own heart. But that question can be asked, does our Lord truly reign in our soul? And that illustration comes from how we live our faith. I mean, do we live our faith every day knowing that our Lord is the true King? Those of you that have done the enthronement of the Sacred Hearts of your family, I mean, that's the whole idea of what you've done. I mean, do you back it up and live it every day? I mean, do you truly live that life that our Lord is recognized as your true King? Yes, we can go out today and we can follow the Blessed Sacrament, singing the hymns, praising our Lord. But if we live our life away from that every day, then it is empty promises that we give to God. It is empty words that we sing, that we recite, that we say, that we even take part in. And so that is where then our Lord must truly reign in our souls, in our hearts, every day. An easy application of that is, are we in the state of grace? Because if not, then truly our Lord is not King of our heart. We have made something else King of our heart. A person, a thing, a place, whatever it may be. But we have separated ourselves from our Lord, and that's why in the catechism we study that, we learn that we've made ourselves an enemy to our Lord, because we have chosen something else. And so very clearly we can answer that question: if we're not in the state of grace, then our Lord is not King of our heart. Maybe we need to do something about that, certainly by going to confession. But that is where we can reflect upon this great feast. We can reflect upon that for our own soul. How have I recognized our Lord as my King? And that is why, again, I quote the Archbishop. He had said, and they have uncrowned him, the worst enemy of the Church is the liberal Catholic. And why is that? Because they give the impression that they're following our Lord, but they're truly not following him. They have made their, we can say, reconciliation with the world. And so they don't follow our Lord in his sufferings, they don't follow our Lord in anything. But they say that they do. But that is why the Archbishop, and they have uncrowned him. So the whole purpose of that book is to show of how our Lord has been uncrowned as the King of this world. In a large set, he has been uncrowned by the liberal Catholics. And so that we see in our modern world. You see it by how people live their lives. That they live a Catholic life on Sunday by coming to Mass and that's it. And then the rest of the time, the way that they act, the way that they dress, the way that they talk, the way that the things that they watch, all of those things are indicative of a modern spirit, a modern world. And that is what we must fight in our own families, our own parish, our own souls. Truly that liberal Catholicism. That we have to be dedicated to our Lord as the true King. Dedicated to him in our everyday life. Dedicated to him in our families, in our parish. Because as I say, if not, it is completely empty that we give to him. And what will it amount to us at the end of our life if we have shown ourselves attached to the things of this world and not truly to our Lord? And so that is the struggle that you face every day of your life. The struggle with the draw of the world. The struggle with trying to, in a sense, to appease the world. And so, yes, we know on paper that our Lord is the true King. We know that he must be the King of our souls, must be the King of our hearts, the King of our actions and our families. But as I say, the reflection comes for us today, is that the case or not? Do we follow our Lord? Do we walk behind him today as our true king? Or is it empty words that we give to him, following like sheep the rest of the herd? So let this be our meditation today, to think about, to contemplate through the rest of the Mass. How are we living our lives? Is it a truly Catholic, an integral Catholic life, or is it not? Is it tainted by the world? And if it's not a truly Catholic life, we must make those changes in our life. Our Lord has said, if you're not with me, you're against me. Very clearly, he sets the standard. He draws the line in the sand. It's one way or the other. You're either with our Lord or you're not. Those of you who've been on retreat, you know very clearly it's the two standards. The standard of our Lord, the standard of the world, or the standard of the devil. And so that must be our reflection, that must be our prayer today. Because our Lord said, for this I was born and for this I came into the world, that I should give testimony to the truth. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.